What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Thursday, March 21st. One of my favorite days of the year, today and tomorrow. Right now, we got the first day of March Madness going on. The games, they've been underway for a bit. They'll be going long into the night, and I believe there may be an interpreter that has big money on a lot of these games. I'm not an interpreter. Actually, in Medellin, I kind of am for some friends that come visit me. They don't speak Spanish, and I speak a bit of Spanish, or a little bit more than a bit. And I do wager, but nothing like what supposedly was happening in California. What a great time to be alive right now, huh? College basketball action, March Madness, a gambling story, illegal gambling, and the story involves the biggest star in Major League Baseball? Oh my gosh. This is a huge story. If you have not heard about it, if you're just tuning in right now and you're like, what is Slater talking about? Where have you been? Really, where have you been? I'm going to get into it. Not where you've been, because I don't know where you've been, but I can tell you where I've been. I've been looking at amazing views. Girls, 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 girls. Views in the restaurant, views everywhere. Girls, 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 girls. But this story involving, we don't know how much it involves Shohei Ohtani, but it involves Shohei Ohtani in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Did I use all the correct words there? The least case is that he is connected to a guy, closely connected, like at his side, with illegal gambling. What's illegal gambling? Well, that would be wagering through a bookie. That's what it would be. Not necessarily on baseball, but this is a story that is just starting. We just found out about this yesterday. And this story, it could be huge. At the same time, it could come back to be like, okay, there was a mistake here. Something happened with Shohei's interpreter. The biggest star in baseball never wagered. Of course, that could be the case. Maybe I should take a swig of water. I don't know what's going on there with my voice. Isn't that weird? I opened this water bottle and it sounded like there's carbonation in it, but there's not. Now, if I was at Lone Depot Park, I'd be able to have all you can drink water. All you can drink soda, too. And as many hamburgers and hot dogs and chili dogs and nachos with cheese, because the Marlins got all you can eat seats now. No, that doesn't mean you get to eat the seat, but they're selling tickets all you can eat. They started $52. It's not bad. You get to watch a baseball game while you shove burgers down your throat, hot dogs, cookies, popcorn, peanuts, nachos with cheese. What else? Cheeseburgers. Regular hot dog, chili cheese dog. I think I've mentioned the same items a couple of times. You could bring back to your seat four items at a time. Like, this is all legit. I tweeted this out yesterday. If you follow me on Twitter, a lot of you do, at Andy Slater, you saw it. It's got 1.4 million views in a 24-hour period. It's very popular. $52, you get a seat to the game. in the 200 level, which is not the upper deck. It's like the club level. You have as many chili dogs as you want, nachos with cheese, burgers, popcorn, peanuts, cookies, sodas, waters. And every time you go to the line, assuming there is a line, you can bring back four items. So you could grab four items, put them at your seat, go back, get four more items, go back to your seat. You have through the seventh inning to get as much food as you want. I'm curious to see what's going to have a longer line. Will it be the concession stand in those sections? Or will it be the bathroom? It's a really good deal for $52, but you got to be able to get your money's worth. You got to really like to eat ballpark food. And some ballpark food is pretty good. I'm going to be at Lone Depot Park for opening day. That's a week from today. And I'll be watching the Marlins and the Pirates. But I'm going to go there 2 days beforehand. I'll be there on Tuesday of next week, because the Marlins are doing something they do yearly for the media, and that is having a taste of the ballpark event. So I get to taste whatever the Marlins are offering this season. I know what a burger tastes like and a hot dog and all of that, but I'm interested in seeing what else they've got going on. Like, they had that 3 foot long, I think it was 3 feet long, a Cuban sandwich. They might have something else 3 feet long near that all-you-can-eat concession stand. Joey Chestnut would get his money's worth, but I don't think those professional eaters, I mean, they are allowed to buy those seats, but I don't think they really enjoy that. They do that because it's their job. That's how they make money. It's not like they go out to eat. Oh, yeah, I want 20 hot dogs because I'm going to enjoy this meal. So I'll get into the Marlins. I'll get into more on the illegal gambling story. That means putting in bets not through a legal app but through a bookie, you know, where you got to settle up like on a Monday or a Tuesday. Depends on the bookie back in the day. Some let you settle up on Thursday. Some give you a rolling figure. I know nothing about that. I mean, it may sound like I know something about that, but I really don't. Now it's just all about the Hard Rock app. And maybe on the app last night you had the Miami Heat for a win. And if you did, you won. That was a typical Spo game last night. A ton of guys are out. The Heat go somewhere where they're not supposed to get a W, but they find a way. Scary Terry with the big three. Miami goes 3-1 on the road trip. They're now home for a game tomorrow night. They'll host Zion and the Pelicans. The NBA season winding down. We are getting closer and closer to playoff time. And the same thing goes with the Florida Panthers. The Panthers, they're at home this evening. And it's a whiteout game. So the Panthers are going to be wearing their old home uniforms. Let me take that back. Not the old logo and all that. But at home, I don't know how many years ago it was, all the NHL teams would wear white. It used to be that way in the NBA too. If you're playing at home, you wear white. If you're on the road, you wear your colored jersey. Then the NBA just started wearing whatever they wanted to. And hockey, maybe 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, they said, we're changing it. Now the home team is going to wear their color jersey, and the road team is going to wear the white jersey. And there's no changing around. Teams don't do that. There could be an alternate in the mix from time to time. But in the NHL, that doesn't happen a whole lot. But tonight, the Florida Panthers will have whiteout night. So when I say they go back to their old home jersey, it's just all I mean is they're going to be playing in their whites, their home whites, which are now road whites. But back in the day, the white, that was for your home game. And the Panthers are encouraging that all fans wear white too, because it's a whiteout game. I don't know, and I don't believe they're going to be handing out white T-shirts to fans. That would be a good idea, because Panthers fans wear red. So I don't know how many fans and those of you going to the game are going to be wearing white, but at least if you hear this now, you still got time before you go to Sunrise to partake in the whiteout festivities as the Panthers take on the Nashville Predators this evening. People writing to me, what's the Panthers same game parlay? I personally don't trust this game tonight. The Panthers have lost two straight. They had like almost a week off, and now they're back at home. Nashville, very tough team. I'm not sure what to think of tonight's contest at the Amerant Bank Arena. I hope the Florida Panthers win, but I'm just not so confident in that game tonight. Doesn't mean that they don't beat the Predators 5-1. I'm just saying. All right, so I have a lot to get to. Trust me, I do. We got the NCAA tournament going on right now. We just had the first two games of the Major League Baseball season, but opening day, the real opening day, that is a week from today. We have this monstrous illegal wagering story that involves, in one way or another, Shohei Ohtani. It's just completely bizarre to think how somehow he's involved with this. And you know me, I definitely want to break down that story and discuss it with all of you. So where do I start? There's a lot of places I could start, but there's one where I feel like I have to. And we're all about to find out. Well, I already know, but you guys are about to find out. Because the hour is set to officially begin.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
The University of Miami, they're not in this tournament, but the tournament is still wonderful. There is not a sports competition that is better constructed than a single elimination tournament involving 64 teams over three weekends with 16 games the first 2 days. 16 today, 16 tomorrow. 32 overall. You end the first weekend, you got the Sweet 16. You end the second weekend, you got the Final Four. You end the third weekend with a national champion. It's perfect. It's the one thing that the NCAA gets so right, and they do it every year. As long as there's not COVID, they do it. Well, Slater, there's still COVID. You know what I mean. So a lot of you have been watching these games at your office. You've been listening to them. The best team all year has been UConn, so most people think that UConn can win it all again. I look at this tournament and I say to myself, we don't really have any great teams. And I know that may be a funny thing to say, but I feel it's true. Any team that we thought, okay, this is a good team, look at what happened in the conference tournaments. In the conference tournaments, UNC lost, Duke lost, Houston lost, FAU lost, Tennessee lost. My point is, any of these teams, really all of these teams, are capable of losing. And that's what makes the tournament so good. It makes it good to wager from an underdog perspective. It makes every game fun to watch. You don't necessarily have to have some superstar team to watch this tournament and have a good time. And a superstar team, like back in the day, I remember watching UNLV, the TARC. That was amazing. Before the tournament started, you knew this is an all-time team, and you know they're going to make a run. I feel like there's not a team like that now, and I don't know if there will be any time in the near future. You don't really have a dominant player, a, let's say, Carmelo Anthony type, where you look at that player and say, well, that guy has to get to the Final Four. Maybe with Purdue, maybe. Right now, college basketball is just so spread out. All the teams are vulnerable. And that's what makes the tournament so good. Upsets, Cinderellas, competitive games that you thought may not be competitive. I think we'll see a double-digit seed in the Final Four because the college game is changing so much, and because of it, the result is chaos. This is the one sport, and in particular, this is the one event, where most people are happy with chaos. If you're a UConn fan or a fan of any number one seed, okay, you don't like chaos. You just want your school to cruise to a victory. But if you're a general fan, if you're someone in the office who just filled out a bracket to fill it out, you want wild results and upsets. It just makes it fun. The transfer portal and the NIL has players switching teams. You got coaches coming and going. So that makes college sports a lot different. We've seen it in football. We see it in basketball. And watching these games, as long as you have some involvement in it, is fun. If you don't have a bracket, if you're not wagering on them, and your team is not in it, and chances are you're not a huge college basketball fan because you're in South Florida, then you may not even pay attention. You might be like, Slater, you know what? Can we just move on, please, to talk about the illegal gambling story that involves, in one way or another, Shohei Ohtani? And my answer to you, my response to you, if you are saying that, is, you know what? You're right. That's exactly what I'm going to do. But before I talk about that, speaking of wagering, I want you to bring $250 to the Hard Rock and enter the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament. The next Slater Scoops Poker Tournament is coming up Tuesday night, April 2nd. Before you know it, it's going to be April. We're less than 2 weeks away from my next tournament. There's $20,000 guaranteed in the prize pool, and it's just $250 to buy in. The tournament begins at 6 p.m. Tuesday night, April 2nd. You have until 9:30 p.m. that night to register. 20 grand minimum in the prize pool. It's a whole lot of fun. We get to play cards. And if you happen to get lucky and knock me out of my own tournament, I will give you two seats on the glass to go see the Florida Panthers in action next month. That is courtesy of the Workers' Comp Legal Center. So put a reminder in your phone, put it in your head, write it down. Tuesday night, April 2nd, it's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament with $20,000 minimum in the prize pool, and it all happens in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Here's a story. Well, was I just about to sing the, what is it, Brady Bunch theme? Here's a story of a lovely lady who is... That's the Brady Bunch, isn't it?
It's a story of a man named Brady.
Of a man named Brady. I was close. But here is a story about the best baseball player on the planet. Shohei Ohtani is involved in some type of way with this illegal gambling that apparently went on. I hope you're caught up to the extent of the outer details, the generic details of this story. If you're not, I will quickly tell you. Yesterday, reports came out that the Dodgers fired Shohei Ohtani's longtime interpreter because he's accused by Shohei's lawyers of stealing more than $4 million from Shohei Ohtani for his illegal gambling debts. That's the story in general, if I just had to sum it up. That's the accusation. But there's a lot to unpack here. I personally don't know what Shohei Ohtani knew, but he knew something. Because this was his guy. This was his translator. And I've talked to baseball people. When you have a translator, especially Shohei's translator, that is someone who is by your side almost all of the time. It's almost like you're a couple. Somehow, millions of dollars come out of Shohei Ohtani's bank account. Yesterday, Shohei's lawyers, they say in a statement, that this money was stolen from Shohei's bank. It was stolen by the translator. They accuse Shohei's interpreter of stealing all of this money. Shohei, according to the lawyer, had his money stolen. So that means he didn't know that all of this money was coming out of his account, especially to pay a gambling debt. That's what the lawyers say. Now, it could be true, but what else is a lawyer going to say? Let's just play devil's advocate here. Play whatever role you want. If Shohei was involved in this illegal gambling, if, not saying he was, we don't know, but if he was, is the lawyer going to come out and say, yeah, Shohei wagered illegally. Case closed. Let's just call it a day, call it a career, and see you later. We don't know what happened. Eventually, we'll find out. But what else is a lawyer going to say? Could Ohtani have placed bets through the interpreter? Is it possible? Yeah, of course that's possible. Whether it happened or not, I don't know. There's already investigations going on with this at the highest level. And if Shohei was involved with this wagering, even if it wasn't on baseball, if he's wagering through a bookie and having somebody else place these bets for him, I'm sure he's going to be suspended. If it had to do with wagering on baseball, well, that's a completely different story, but still, even if it wasn't, it's pretty bad. What makes this story kind of, like, literally unbelievable is because yesterday there were two separate statements that were made. Initially, representatives, according to the reports, reps for Ohtani said that Ohtani knew about the interpreter's gambling and he gave the money to the interpreter to pay off the debt. Here's a guy who doesn't do well gambling, supposedly, and this is Shohei's right-hand man. For a long time, not just when he got to the Dodgers. And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna pay your gambling debt. Later on, the story changes. And Ohtani's lawyers say this was stolen money. Shohei had no idea about it. It was stolen. So those are two completely different stories. And then I'm reading more about this. I'm reading every single sentence in every paragraph. And according to the report that I read, the money was wired from Shohei's bank account. And the interpreter said in an interview that Shohei didn't believe if he just gave the money to the interpreter that he would pay the debt. He said he was so into gambling, he thought maybe he would take that money and try to double it up. Seriously, I mean, some people would do that. So that part is believable. So Shohei went online to his bank account himself and wired the money. Now, if that part is true, if any part of that is true, if money is coming out of Shohei Ohtani's bank account and being wired to somebody who is a bookie, it's being wired directly to the bookie who is being investigated for being a bookie, that would be a problem. Regardless of whose losses those were, if it's coming from that bank account, that's a problem. All of this, it outlines the risk associated with sports wagering. Now, you don't have to ask me twice. I'm a huge fan of widespread sports wagering. The Supreme Court, what was it, like 5 or 6 years ago, said, enough of this, no more wagering. You can only wager in Nevada. Go ahead. Each state, they can make their own rules. And we know the deal Florida has with the Seminoles, and I love the Hard Rock Bet app. With the privilege of having that comes responsibility. In California, sports wagering is not legal. They're very strict in California, even with casinos. I remember going to Los Angeles. I went to the Commerce Casino. I went there to play poker, but their table games, it's just like when you go to a Hi-Li place in Florida, their table games, you're not essentially gambling against the house. There's somebody sitting on the side of the table in position one who's paying and taking the money. So if you win the bet, they pay you. It's not the actual casino paying you. However that works, there's always a way around something. But in California, they're very strict. I'm not doing politics here. I'm just stating a casino rule, and they do not have legal sports wagering. In Florida, we have the Hard Rock Bet app. And in many states, sports wagering is legal now. So we have seen leagues. We've seen many instances of players getting in trouble and suspended in the NFL for gambling. There's very strict policies. There's a greater responsibility now that everybody has, and every league has, and every team has. They're promoting it within games. They do it because there's a lot of money. There's a lot of revenue there. But doing something illegally, partaking in wagering when you're not allowed to, that's a no-no. You're not just breaking a team policy. You're not just breaking a league policy. But in some cases, you are breaking the actual law. Now, we don't know if anything was wagered on baseball. Supposedly, nothing was. But that's not going to stop people from thinking, hey, maybe there were some baseball wagers. Are they really going to tell you the truth to begin with? Again, probably not. There may not have been any baseball wagers. But if there were, what do you think they're going to say? You think the interpreter is going to say, yeah, you know, we took the Dodgers this many. Like, that's just not going to be said. Nobody would say that. You're incriminating yourself. It's like just pleading guilty before you even get charged with anything. So the integrity of the game, it's always going to come up. There's a lot of questions. And this case, this investigation, is dealing with the biggest star in the entire game. Whether he was the one gambling or not, we don't know. Whether it was on baseball or not, we don't know. But this all surrounds illegal wagering. And if you have leagues, teams, and players messing with the integrity of the game, it sounds like this wasn't the case, but again, who knows? Because they're not going to tell you, yeah, it was on baseball. But if you've got people questioning the legitimacy of the outcome of a game in any sport, just as a general conversation, then you no longer have that sport. Now you're talking about taking a dive, point shaving. We've had these things happen. I'm not saying it happened here with Ohtani. Ohtani's an incredible baseball player. Ohtani wasn't somebody who was taking a dive. But in general, this stuff can happen. In order for sports gambling to work, the games have to be legit. And the reason I question this story more and more is not for the legitimacy of the game. It's just about the biggest star in the game potentially wagering illegally. He's not being accused of it. But if the money's coming from his bank account and then you've got two different stories, it just makes you wonder. First, he loaned the guy the money. He sent the money for him. And then 3 hours later, no, the money was stolen. And we're talking about a $4.5 million gambling debt. The interpreter is gambling $4.5 million. It's all very sketchy. And how can you not think of pretty much every possibility in this case, including Shohei was illegally wagering? It would be much less of importance if he wasn't wagering on baseball, if he was wagering at all. But still, the fact that his name and his bank account is reportedly linked to a bookie, that's not good. Time will tell with this one what happens with the feds and what Major League Baseball does as well. Right now, we're not going to have an answer. We're not going to have an answer next week, next month. I don't know when we're going to have an answer. But this story, it's not going away. The only way it would go away is if some of the Marlins beat reporters were working on it. And I say that because they just don't ask questions that everybody wants to know. Like the whole Jazz Chisholm Jr. interview where he's calling out things that happened in the clubhouse, saying that the first baseman on the Marlins was taking a dive because he didn't want to catch Jazz's throws. He'd rather have errors be made because he didn't like them. And then the following day, no questions are asked about it. It's just so hard to believe, but it's true. I mean, if I was there in Jupiter, I would definitely be asking the questions, but can you blame me? Jupiter or Columbia? I'll be around the Marlins very soon, though, next week, and we'll get some more answers. They're trying to kill that story off, but not yet. Mm-mm. That's not going to just totally vanish. Just like your chances of getting the bagel loan are definitely not going to vanish. If you are buying a home, if you need a mortgage or you're refinancing, you want to get a hold of Stewie on his personal cell and tell him you want to know more about the bagel loan. I could tell you when you look at a bagel, maybe you get hungry and you want to eat it. But when I look at a bagel, I see a big zero in the middle. And that is what you will pay Stewie with the bagel loan. Nothing. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. You pay Stewie zero. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, why would you not call Stewie? Especially since I'm going to give you his personal cell phone number. Here it is. 561-379-4441. One more time. 561-379-4441. If you're buying a home, if you're refinancing, if you need a mortgage, you want the Bagel loan where you pay Stewie nothing. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. MLS number 226715. The biggest story surrounding the Miami Marlins right now would be Jazz Chisholm Jr. Marlins beat reporters tried to kill that story off because they didn't ask any questions about it yesterday, and the team, they were off today. So the Marlins star comes out, takes a blowtorch to the organization, talks about being miserable for 3 years, says the veterans essentially bullied him, said that former team captain Miguel Rojas was terrible, all sorts of terrible, terrible comments. And then Skip Schumacher is available to the media, and the Marlins beat reporters, they're like,
nothing to see here. Please disperse. Nothing to see here.
No questions were asked. Not a single reporter said, hey, Skip, do you care to comment on what Jazz had to say? The story went nowhere. How's that possible? This was national news. You never hear a current baseball player speak out like that. The dude who was on the cover of MLB The Show, the face of the league for the video game, he rips his teammates. And the beat reporters are like,
nothing to see here. Please disperse. Nothing to see here.
What are we doing here? Imagine if Jazz played for the New York Yankees. Do you think that would be a one-day story or a 12-hour story? He made some comments, a few outlets report that he said something, and then everyone just goes on about their day? This would be the story all season. Jazz would have to go on the record about it with reporters. But yeah, what did we get?
Nothing.
There's no situation where the things that Jazz said and the way he said it were not heard in that clubhouse. There's no way. It wasn't that everyone was just going about their business. This was a bomb that Jazz set off. This was not a little interview. He said a lot. He spoke out of school in many ways. The sanctity of the clubhouse. What we say here stays here. That type of stuff, it didn't stay in the clubhouse. The team rule that's so important in so many big league atmospheres, it was violated. And no one asks anything about it. Nobody presses anybody on it. Those were some serious accusations that Jazz Chisholm Jr. made. But Marlins beat reporters.
Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Nothing to see here.
And I'm telling you, as the Marlins ramp up the start of the season next week, I will make sure this story stays active. This can't just go away. Jazz has basically put himself out there. He said the past 3 years, the first 3 years he was with the Marlins, he was not himself. But now he's happy. Everything is good. Okay, let's see. Let's see if there's an actual difference. Let's see if Jazz can stay healthy, I hope. He's on my fantasy baseball team. I drafted him. See, that just goes to show anyone out there, oh, you're going off on Jazz, you don't like him. I want him to be amazing. I bid on him in my auction draft last night. I took him. I kind of believe him. At least I hope what he's saying is true. Now he's not going to eat McDonald's. That's what he said. He's going to be more into this. I hope so. He's on my team. The rest of the Marlins, they don't look all that good. Their pitching has gotten worse. Their lineup got worse. So if the Marlins are not going to be good, they got to be interesting in some way. hopefully Jazz is amazing and we get some cool stories to come out of that clubhouse. We're 1 week away from opening day, the Marlins and Pirates, Lone Depot Park. The wait is almost over. How great is this time of the year? Baseball starts, the madness of college hoops going on right now. The NBA and NHL playoff pushes are happening. This in October, it's every sports fan's dream. Another dream of a sports fan is to win big wagering. You can have fun gambling, but you should never gamble on your future, your financial future, your retirement. For that, you want to contact Trajan Wealth. Trajan Wealth is located locally in Palm Beach, and they will help you design a plan based around your long-term goals, your retirement goals, your financial goals. You may have something going on right now, but you look at your account and it's just not what you thought it would be. It will cost you nothing to set up a meeting with Trajan Wealth. Visit TrajanWealth.com. That's TrajanWealth.com. Or call Trajan Wealth at 561-390-1000. Don't wait any longer. Advisory services are offered through Trajan Wealth LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor, and this is a paid advertisement. How about the Miami Heat last night when the Heat have an absurd starting lineup? When the Heat post their starting lineup and all the replies are the vomit emoji, they go out there and they win the game. These games where the Heat put together a terrible lineup, maybe I should start betting on them. It's a game where Spo says, we have enough. You see the injury report, and you think, there's no way they have enough. But time after time after time, the Miami Heat pick up W's this way. No Bam, no Love, no Duncan, no Tyler, no problem. Key guys in the Miami Heat don't miss a beat. That's Eric Spoelstra. He is one heck of a competitor. Spo loves these games. Sure, you want your stars to play, but when he can go into that lab and when his team's shorthanded and everyone thinks they've got a huge competitive disadvantage, Spo does his thing. And the Miami Heat come up with a W. Thankfully, Scary Terry hit that game-winning three. The Heat 3-1 on that road trip could have easily been 1-3. And the Miami Heat, they will take that road trip, and now they're home, and they'll take on Zion tomorrow night. All right, that's all the time I got for this Thursday. Enjoy all the games. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.